Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquez and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
What up? Hello, America. So good to have you along again here on a Saturday morning. You have stumbled across the number one internet sports talk show in the world, along with our affiliate radio stations. We welcome you, my minions. If you're not a minion, it's very, very easy to become one. Just go to The Balance and hit a like. On Facebook, I'm sorry, just go to Facebook, search The Balance, hit like, and there you are. You become a minion. We keep you updated on everything that has to do with sports. And if it kicks, drives, jumps, what have you, we got you covered here on The Balance, coast to coast. My name is Tom Marquez. My minions call me El Presidente. Why? Because I lead you for the next 2 hours through a world and crazy maze of sports. I help you understand and digest all the sports stories that have been going on during the week. I do that, so that's why I am your self-proclaimed leader. Actually, I couldn't do it without you. My digit's 917-889-8516. If you ever want to jump into the conversation about any conversation we're having, we've got a good show for you today. You know, we're going to, this past week, just a few days ago, we learned that IndyCar is going to be another legend. And I won't say lost because that really has a negative connotation to it. But it's no longer going to be in a race car. We're going to be talking about that, who that is, and why he made that decision to no longer be in a race car. I will give you a little bit of a hint. There was the Three Musketeers, and now there is one. So we'll get into that conversation on IndyCar right here in just a moment. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to break down some college Saturday, because, you know, it's not just college football Saturday anymore. It's actually college basketball. We're going to talk a little bit about the IU game, just total domination against Samford. And, you know, I know my loyal followers are always following every on bated breath. I'm like Jim Irsay. Everybody's wanting to see what I'm going to tweet. So yesterday evening on my way home at a stoplight, I tweeted that IU was going to be playing Stanford. Will we see a Luck sighting? Well, you know, that was just to keep you on your toes because they didn't play Stanford. They play Samford. And, of course, we know that was just a total domination. We're going to break that game down what there is to do about. Also, how about those Pacers totally undefeated again? Well, not again because it really hasn't happened that much ever. But won again, I guess, and it keeps them undefeated. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Certainly, if you want to jump in the NBA conversation, the college conversation, 917-889-8516. You can also follow us on our vast social media world that we have out there with Twitter and Facebook. Twitter, T-Balance, and, of course, our sister company, Pro Indy, of IndyProSports.com. And, guys, if you want to keep up on everything on Indy Pro Sports, there's another page for you over there at Facebook. Just click Indy Pro Sports, and you'll find us. Also, IndyAndMay.com and IndyAndMay on Facebook. We handle handle all of those. Those are all our family of sports. And so certainly here, if you're here in the Indianapolis area, I'm sure that you'll appreciate Indy Pro Sports. If you're an IndyCar fan or a racing fan in general, but predominantly an IndyCar fan, IndianMay.com and Facebook page is for you. And of course, you know, if you're a minion, you know where you're at. You know where to go at. You know, more people spend more time on Facebook at work now than any other time, and I attribute that to the balance. And you know, everybody wanted to be a minion. I mean, I can't say that I blame you, So anyway, we'd love to have you along with us. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we get right into our IndyCar talk. Who decided to call it quit this week? We'll find out right after this break.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
When I race against Dario, I know he's a very sleeky man, a sleeky driver. He studs you around, make sure that, you know, find the weakness areas, and then bam!
He's just a legend, and he's super cool about it, you know. He's just a really, really good guy.
Very consistent and methodical race car driver. He calculates every move.
Dario is one of my idols.
Yeah, right.
Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and he's uber cool about it.
Kind of admire that. He's very very good in hiding his game, and when the time's to go, he really goes.
You heard it here first.
He's lazy, doesn't like to test, doesn't wake up early.
Just the whole season, not just at the track, but testing, you know, the constant fitness stuff, all these different things that when I do get away, you know, Ashley and I went away in December and just went away for 2 weeks and just really did nothing. Went out walking and didn't have any time I had to get up in the morning, or you know, and that was pretty nice. Race weekends in particular, like a lot of time to just go back to the bus if I've got the bus at a race and think about the session before, what I did wrong, the session after, what I'm going to have to do to improve, where I need to fix the car, and just clear my mind. I let a lot of time on my own.
Dario is kind of cool. You know, Dario is like the serious type guy, you know, like, you know, high profile race car driver, accomplished amazing things, you know, in IndyCar, won 3 championship. But, you know, like, just kind of simple too, you know, like, I see him with his old hat all ripped off, you know, old t-shirt, jeans, kind of like relaxed. And I think I like his personality because of that. It's just, you know, the way he is in normal life, it's so laid back compared to the personality that he has behind the wheel and also in racing.
I took up sailing. A friend of mine's got a boat. He sailed since he was a kid, and when the whole NASCAR thing went upside down, and he said, you know, we need a weekend away, let's all go sailing. So a bunch of my friends, who all come to Indianapolis every year for the 500, and I, we all went sailing in our friend's boat, and I'm now pretty much addicted to it. And any chance I get in the summertime, man, straight back to Scotland, and we do some small races.
I have a good fun with him on the track, off the track.
I watch a lot of movies on the bus. And I'll watch the same movie 100 times, you know, whether it's a James Bond film or like a Happy Gilmore or one of those kind of stupid comedies. Just keep watching them.
Obviously, he's a real gentleman, as everybody knows, and he's a superstar in the IndyCar series, and he's a tough guy on the track, and we try to compete very high level. Unfortunately, we had a little tangle last year, but there you go, you know. I really love to come back again and do the very competitive race with him.
Dario, man, tough competitor, very consistent, bloody hard guy to beat. You know, he's a four-time champion and guy that's prevented me from winning the last 2 championships. So, you know, I think he's a great guy off the track, very good personality, he's got a great heart, and I want to beat him.
Dario is a living legend, and it's a weird thing to say. It's weird to realize that you're racing against him every week, because 20 years from now, you're going to look back and people are going to say, wow, you raced against Dario. I mean, he's at that level. And he's Mr. Consistent. He's always there. You know, when he has a third place car, he takes third place and he collects those points. He doesn't crash bone for second. He makes no mistakes, but if something happens to him, he recovers. Like Brazil last year, he crashes in the first corner, hits the tire wall, guy finished fourth. You know, I didn't spin, I didn't have a single runoff, you know, in the rain there in Brazil. I finished ninth. I don't get how this happens, you know? And it's just how he does it, and year after year. That's why he's the guy when it's all said and done and, you know, all the chips are on the table. He's the guy that takes it because he's just always there.
All right. Well, if you have not figured out by now.
If you've not figured out by now, in our little tease this morning, that Dario Franchitti has called it quits. Well, you know, maybe justifiably so. What are your thoughts? Dario Franchitti retiring, you know, 4-time champion. As you heard in that little piece there, just mired around IndyCar. And I've had, you know, several opportunities to talk with Dario. He's very always very approachable. And certainly, you know, he is just well known, even on the track and off the track. And, you know, we're really going to miss him here in Indianapolis. Obviously, that's where our show flagship's from. We're gonna miss Dario. And you know, I think that he is really, you know, what I would say, the model racer. I mean, he as you heard in the piece there, so many chances that he took. And, you know, one might say that maybe he took, one too many chances, but he has called it quits. I mean, he's a father as well. 4-time IndyCar champion Dario Franchitti did announce Thursday that he will no longer be able to compete in auto racing because of injuries suffered in the October 6th crash in Houston. Now, it makes you wonder and brings up some other questions. How much did we really know about those injuries? What were the extent of those injuries? We obviously, there was an issue that prevented him from driving again. You know, the Chip Ganassi race driver suffered a broken back, right ankle, concussion in the crash at the Houston Grand Prix. If you remember right, that sent his car airborne into the catch fence and back into the temporary street circuit, if you will. He's also won 3 Indianapolis 500s in a career that started in 1997, Franchitti, 40 years old. Somebody asked me today, earlier this week how old Dario Franchitti was. Well, he's 40 years old. And, you know, his team was looking for him, to him coming back in 2014. But it just wasn't meant to be. The Scotsman ends his career tied for eighth in the all-time list of 31 career wins and 33 pole positions. And certainly we know that about the wins that he's won here in Indianapolis. And, you know, it's not going to be the same here in May. Now, one would think that he's probably going to make some appearances and we'll see him around the track, but it's not going to be the same at the Indianapolis 500 without Dario Franchitti. And, you know, and here's the thing, and I guess that brings us into another question and another thought. At what point do athletes need to call it quits? And with concussions especially, and we talk about concussions in the NFL all the time. And I don't know. Maybe this is something that all race series. Maybe that's something that we need to look at and talk about in NASCAR and, you know, in all racing series. How far do we allow race car drivers to get in? Well, you know, I guess a lot of times, and we've talked about it here on the show, I guess a lot of times what we want to do is we want to allow the drivers. There's a lot of money at stake there. And, you know, we've had Kevin Lee on the show here, and we've talked about the things that, you know, the money and the sponsorships and stuff. But at some point, you do have to call it quits. And you know, and I guess that's just kind of a where we're at with Dario Franchitti. Made a very wise decision, and I applaud him. Well, not only did he retire at the top of his game, but he realized that he wasn't greater than the game or the race. You know, going back to the press conference and conference call and press release from Chip Ganassi, he said, he really came short of saying that if Dario Franchitti had another concussion, it could kill him. And, you know, certainly the reality of that realizes, hey, you know, it was fun while it lasted. I'm a father. You know, it is not worth. And we think about one of his very dear friends passing away, Dan Weldon, passed away on the track. And maybe drivers like Dario want to go out in the blaze of glory, if you will. But at the same time, there comes a time when you've got to say, enough's enough. And so really, Chip Ganassi said, you know, a repeat of that kind of concussion could be very serious. And, you know, you can infer from that what you want. And like we mentioned a while ago, Franchitti suffered a concussion in his October.
All right. It looks like we are back temporarily. We are having a little bit of technical difficulties. What we're going to do real quickly is we are going to let's go to an interview that we played regarding Dario Franchitti and Kevin Lee just right after his wreck. And here's part of that interview.
I have with me this morning. I caught up with him earlier on in the week, but I'm honored to have with me one of the what I would consider the foremost experts of IndyCar, Mr. Kevin Lee of NBC Sports, 1070 the Fan. Also, yeah, I'm sure you've seen him on Indiana Pacers, Fox Sports, Indiana, certainly a radio host, sideline reporter. Really, I guess the better question is, Kevin, what is it that you don't do in radio and television?
Well, when you're a freelance broadcaster, you take any job you can get.
I hear you, sir. I appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule to talk with us today, and we're very honored to have you for the first time here on the ballots. And, Kevin, obviously you're right there in the action with everything with IndyCar, and your face is certainly associated with Indy broadcasts on NBC Sports, and they've just did a phenomenal job of coming in and taking over the broadcast of that and allowing fans to really get up and close and personal with IndyCar other than just the Indianapolis 500. And I certainly want to recap the championship last week, that race, Scott Dixon, his championship. But I also want to talk a little bit about Dario Franchitti. How's he doing?
As far as I know, he's doing as well as he could be doing. He's here in Indianapolis, as I understand. He's out of the hospital, was released last week. He's got a long road ahead of him to deal with the back injuries. But from people that I've talked to that have talked to him, he's in great spirits and is anxious to get back into a race car as soon as he can. Certainly, these are serious injuries, but as scary as that was, I think we all feel it's easy for us to say because we're not dealing with the rehab, but I think everybody who knows Dario feels pretty pleased and fortunate that it is as it is, and he's going to be fine eventually, and he's probably going to be able to answer the bell at the beginning of next season.
Well, horrific wreck that he was involved in a few weeks before the championship, and it was just such a scary wreck. And, you know, at the time of the broadcast and watching it on your broadcast and the various highlights, you could just tell just that there was that moment there of that gasp that, you know, we remember back, you know, just a few years ago when we lost Dan Weldon out in Las Vegas, a very, very eerie similarity on how the broadcast was handled. You're right there on the front lines with us. Walk us through when that was going on. What was going on in your headset, and what was going on? What were you guys thinking about? What were you talking about?
Well, I think part of it is what did happen with Dan. And, you know, up to that point, when Dan crashed, I'll be honest, I didn't have an immediate concern. Now, I also hadn't seen it. I was working the radio broadcast that day in Vegas, and I didn't have an immediate replay. I knew it was a scary crash in the way it was being described, but we had almost become complacent because these cars are designed so much better. The safer barrier helps with the safety that we had become complacent to the fact that, well, they always get up and they always ultimately walk away and might only have to deal with some minor injuries. So I think now anytime there's a scary-looking crash, it's kind of brought us back to reality that bad things can happen, and so until you hear something definitive and positive, then you just don't know. And I'm looking at it on a small monitor, and I couldn't see what was happening inside the cockpit. As I watched the broadcast back after I got home, you could see that he moved around. He was moving his head, and he flipped up his visor. Had I seen that at the time, I think I would have felt a lot better. But I think our approach is one of being very cautious, trying not to speculate very much and just going with facts rather than what we think might be happening. And luckily we got some facts pretty quickly from someone that was on the scene in Chip Ganassi that gave us at least a report that his injuries weren't dire. Yeah, they're serious, but, you know, he's awake and he's alert and he's talking. So that's good that we could get something definitive out like that instead of just speculating.
We're talking with Kevin Lee of NBC Sports. In IndyCar, obviously, NBC Sports have did a fantastic job of coming in and formerly, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe they're formerly the Versus Network, but just have really did a great job of coming in and bringing IndyCar to the fans. And we talk a little bit about the injuries in Dan Weldon. We know coming up on the 26th, which is today when this show airs, I know we're taping this earlier on in the week, Newcastle, Indiana is hosting a fundraiser, if you will, in honor of... All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Mark Wissell, Presidente. I apologize about the technical difficulties that we were just going through. Crazy nut stuff. Gremlins in my board today, you know, that just is what happens when you rely on Skype and other functions. But hey, we're back and we're ready to go. Wow. Man, can things take a turn? And we were talking about Dario Franchitti and, you know, all the great things that Dario Franchitti has accomplished in his career. And we apologize that got cut off there right when we were talking about that and engaged in that conversation. So, you know, you just never know what'll happen here. Hi, who's this?
Hey, what's up, Tom?
Hey, Josh, I didn't know you were calling in. I'll tell you what, it must be something about you calling in that just gives us the technical difficulties. We're bouncing off some technical difficulties, so we're getting everything fixed and back and ready to go. We're going to take a break, guys. We get back. You know, I do simply want to apologize again. We were talking about the retirement of Dario Franchitti, and we'll talk with $2 Bill Josh here in just a moment. Also, we're going to break down college Saturday and those Indiana Pacers. An incredible run that they are on, absolutely. So we're going to take a break, and again, we salute Dario Franchitti, and we wish him the best in his retirement. And I'm sure we'll see him around, perhaps in the broadcast booth or whatever. We'll be right back right after this.
Front wing out of the way so guys can get through. Here's the safety team. That's a welcome sight. Those guys are on the scene.
The whole Metro safety team, the guys
Sato
did such a great job.
Back there, yeah. So.
Sato in the background. Remember, Takuma had a very, I don't want to say slow speed, it wasn't slow speed, but he had a minor crash yesterday, enough to tweak his wrist. This was a high-speed crash.
And I think that's the turn 5 section, Lee, isn't it?
It is 5, it's the 5 sweeper.
Yeah.
Carrying a lot of speed through there.
Flying, and let's not forget, we talked about the marbles. There's the marbles on the outside there. Sato gets
he got loose.
Oh,
no. Oh, my goodness. That is a horrifying ride for Dario Franchitti.
Oh, man. That is an oval crash we've seen before, and we hate to see that kind of impact.
If Sato,
look at the debris go through. Oh, boy. And fencing. Yeah, it does look like there might be some debris into the grandstands as well. That is a violent, violent impact.
Fortunately, the fence kept the car in the racetrack.
This is Graham Rahal arriving on the scene.
Full course yellow,
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Green. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up right here on The Balance Online with the host, Tom Keith.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
The biggest football game there is.
It's time for...
Well, Elizabeth, we are looking at week 11. Last week, you did what you did the previous 3 weeks. You went 7-3, which is really good. So give yourself a high five. And tell everybody, you're doing something different this week, aren't you? You're not in the studio with Daddy. What are you doing? Where are you at right now?
Grandma's house.
You're at Grandma's house. That's right. So we're going to do this over the phone. Let's get going with it. In college football, we're going to start off in the MAC conference. We have Central Michigan Chippewas versus the Western Michigan Broncos. Who do you choose?
Broncos.
You're going to go with the Broncos. Moving to the Big Ten, we have last week you picked them as an upset. Good job there. We have the Indiana Hoosiers versus the number 22 Wisconsin Badgers. Who do you go with?
The first one.
The Indiana Hoosiers. Moving on to the SEC, we have the number 25 Georgia Bulldogs or the number 7 Auburn Tigers.
Georgia Bulldogs.
You're going to go with the Georgia Bulldogs. Going over to the Big 12, we have the Texas Tech Red Raiders or the number 5 Baylor Bears.
Bears.
The Baylor Bears. And finally, in the Big 10, we have the number 3 Ohio State Buckeyes or the unranked Illinois Fighting Illini.
Fighting Illini.
The Fighting Illini? Okay. You're going to see if they upset. They have not lost a game in over 2 years. We'll see if you're right on that. Let's move on to the NFL. We have our first 1 o'clock game. We have the New York Jets or the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills. Another 1 o'clock game. We have the Washington Redskins or the Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia Eagles.
You've been pretty consistent picking them this year so far. Pretty good on that one. Go on to our 4 o'clock game. We have the San Francisco 49ers or the New Orleans Saints.
New Orleans Saints.
The New Orleans Saints. And the big one. Actually, a lot of people say this is going to be a preview for the AFC Championship. Sunday night, we have the Kansas City Chiefs or the Denver Broncos.
Denver Broncos.
The Denver Broncos. And finally, let's look at Monday night. We have the New England Patriots or the Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers.
The Carolina Panthers. And who picked those?
Elizabeth the Beak. Make sure to like me on Facebook. Facebook.com/ElizabethTheBeak.
And you'll be back in studio next week, right, sweetie?
Yeah.
Have fun with Grandma.
All right, Elizabeth the Greek. Always fun to have her on. And just she just has a way of getting us back on track. And where we were talking about, again, I apologize about the technical difficulties during the top of the show, but you only missed about, 10 or 15 minutes, and you're good to go. So we were talking about Dario Franchitti, and I know $2 Bill Josh, you and I have been to the Indianapolis 500 numerous times together. Certainly had the opportunity to look in at Dario Franchitti, and I've had the opportunity to talk with him a few times and meet him. Real quickly, before we get on with our college basketball, college football, and NBA talk, let's talk a little bit about Dario Franchitti and what are your thoughts?
Well, he's truly a legend in the IndyCar series. You know, he has 3 titles, 3 Indy 500 championships. I know he's going through a lot personally with his medical. He's got some other personal stuff going on, but he will be missed in the IndyCar, and there's now a high-quality ride available in IndyCar.
Which, you know, begs to the question, who will get the Dario car? That's what we're going to – it's no longer the Target car. It is the Dario car, and we'll be on Dario Car Watch. And, you know, I think he will also act in the capacity of consultant to Chip Ganassi Racing. And he's not out of the racing scene by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think that it was time for him to step out of the car and at least he was smart enough to take the doctor's advice. We can't say that about a lot of people, a lot of drivers. And as we know, there was the 3 Musketeers, Dan Weldon, Dario Franchitti, and TK, Tony Kanaan. So it's down to 1 Musketeer now. And they've all won Indianapolis 500s. They're all Indianapolis 500 champions. So what is the next chapter? Well, we'll see. And certainly we know that Dario Franchitti was very close to Dan Weldon. And him and Tony Kanaan are very good friends. So, you know, one would see. And maybe, you know, and I don't have anything to back this up, but we do know that maybe there might be some drivers. So I don't want to toss any names out there just because of the fact that I don't want to get a lot of stuff started, but I think it's going to be a big name that steps in that car. What are your thoughts?
Well, I can tell you it won't be Sam Cornish Jr. if that's who you were hinting at, because he said he doesn't want the ride and he's not interested.
Well, it was certainly one of the guys on my short list, that's for sure. Absolutely.
Could we see Danica Patrick return to IndyCar?
Well, that was the other person that that's why I said I didn't want to get into it. I will just say this. She's a marketable person, and a lot of people, you either love or hate Danica. But one thing about it is she has marketability. Now, the question would be because of GoDaddy's relationship, but we also know that she's pretty much said goodbye to GoDaddy anyway, so that's probably a moot point. So, you know, there could be a Danica signing. It could be a driver that none of us has ever heard of. You know, Tony Kanaan is already signed a contract for next year's drive, but money talks, and you know, so things could happen. So we'll just wait and see. Well, let's talk about we'll get into the college basketball and football here in just a moment. But how about those Indiana Pacers? 9-0. An incredible start, not only for their franchise history, but an incredible start in the NBA. Everybody's looking at them. All eyes are on the Indiana Pacers. Everybody's out to get the Indiana Pacers. Everybody wants to knock off the Indiana Pacers. Josh, it's an uphill battle from here forward with the Indiana Pacers. But what are some of the things they're doing right? What are some of the things they're doing wrong? And talk to us about the Indiana Pacers.
Well, before I get too much into the Pacers fans, what's wrong with you? Why is there only 12,000 people out there tonight in no team's basketball game? How come you can walk up to the ticket window on game day and buy a ticket? Come on, Indianapolis. You said you wanted Larry Bird to build a winner. You said you wanted a team who could win the title. He bought you both of them, and you still won't go to the game. I know I've been to a couple of games, Tom. I don't know if you had a chance to make it out yet or if you're going to do it a little bit later in the season. But come on, Indianapolis. Support your team. What do you think about Indianapolis not going to the game, Tom?
Well, you know, certainly you make a very valid point. The fans have said that, you know, they want a team that wins. They want a team that they can be proud of, and they want a team that's worth the ticket. And now I think they are starting to see that. And I think, you know, there's an old saying that if they win, they will come. And so they're winning, and I think that we'll see the fan base turnaround. I think that we'll see a stronger appearance out there at the Pacers. But, you know, certainly we've got a limited amount of time here, Josh. So let's talk about the Pacers, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, and then let's get into some college talk.
Well, the Indiana Pacers are 9-0. They're six games away from setting the record for going undefeated the longest open the season. The record's currently 14 games. They need to win six to set it. Paul George has had 20-plus points in every single game, a new Indiana franchise record. He's only the third player in NBA history behind Wilt Chamberlain and Dave Bean to score 20-plus points in the first nine games of a season, and his team be 9-0. If he wins tonight and has 20 points, he will stand alone in first place in that category. Warren Hibbert's averaging 5 blocks a game, staying out of foul trouble. Everybody on the team is contributing. And to borrow a line I heard earlier in the week, Chris Copeland is kind of like a victory cigar or a victory shot of your favorite liquor. He's the Indiana Pacers fans' favorite player. He was a starter for New York last year, and he can't even get off the Pacer bench. He did get off the bench last night to score 8 points. So I guess if you're Chris Copeland, if you're in the game, you know the Pacers are winning.
Well, absolutely, and the Pacers, certainly, like I said, all eyes are on the Pacers, 9-0. How about those Indiana Pacers? Absolutely an exciting time. You know, and Lamar Odin talking to the Clippers for a possible NBA return. Any thoughts on that?
Well, that would be great if he's actually sobered up and can leave the Kardashian drama on the TV show, keeping up with the Kardashians and now off the NBA floor.
Absolutely. There's enough drama with the Kardashians to go around for everybody. Well, yeah, certainly the Clippers are number one, lead the West out there in the Pacific, Southwest, the Spurs. We look at the Trailblazers. Interesting conference there in the Western Conference, the Northwest Conference. You got the Blazers, the Thunder, and their Timberwolves, and they're in the Denver Nuggets as well, all within a one- or two-game percentage of each other. Of course, NBA is a very long, long race. But I want to look out there to the Portland Trailblazers. Guys, they're a team that really are truly living up to their name.
They are a very exciting team to watch. I have NBA League Pass, so I watch several of their games. They're very young, very dynamic. They could score a whole lot of points. Great team. Probably get knocked out in the second round of the playoffs. But I wanted to lead the NBA segment off with this, but now we'll get to it. Tom, it's 2013. I thought the ABA was over. Apparently, in the year 2013, the ABA is back. You got the Pacers 9-0. You got the Nets for Jason Kidd. They're all the talk of the NBA. And you have the Spurs, who are 9-1. All ABA teams dominating the headlines.
Oh, no, I know. It's nuts. And when you look at the history of that, that is the other segment for another show. I wish we had time to get into that. Well, let's get into some college basketball and then over into college football. It is College Saturday. Time to talk some college. You know what? I love talking college sports. It's a lot of fun. And we have IU. Really, you know, I was kind of disappointed with them earlier in the week. Last night had a pretty dominating game against not Stanford, but Samford, and certainly against a former IU assistant coach. Coach under Coach Crean, there the Samford coach did. So as we look at the Indiana Hoosier, I really don't think that I have seen a more athletic. They're freakish athletic. Their athleticism that they have on the IU team, they have all the tools necessary. They have all the weapons necessary to go deep into March Madness. We look at the IU squad, what you've seen already early. What are your thoughts?
Well, IU looks really good. They're 3-0. They had a dominating win last night. It's something I don't know if you got to watch the post-game press conference or not.
Tom Crean says he hasn't even installed any of the IU offense yet because the team is so young. They have 10 freshmen and sophomores. He has to keep the basics, the fundamentals. So right now they're just coming up with plays and not even using the IU offense yet.
Right, and Josh, you got to keep the mic a little bit closer to your mouth or you faded out there. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Big Ten and basketball going around the Big Ten. And real quickly, getting a look, I wish that we had time to talk more basketball, but we will have plenty of time to talk about basketball, but we do want to get into the football games. We've got Ed Kratz coming up here at 10 o'clock. We break it down those fantastic Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to be talking about the Colts and everything that's going on in the NFL. So we want to make sure we have plenty of time for that and also fantasy football. But we, as we look around the Big Ten in basketball, you know, we look at some of the Big Ten teams, as we just talked about IU, and what are some of the teams that stand out to you in the Big Ten standings there?
Well, Michigan State's the number one team in the nation of college basketball, and they knocked off Kentucky on Tuesday night in a great game. Ohio State is ranked number 17. They played number 10 Marquette today at 1 p.m. on Fox. Shame on you if you watch that game. You should be watching IU and Purdue. But for those of you who don't like college football, there's a college basketball game of the day to watch.
Right. Absolutely shame on you. You've definitely got to be watching the IU game. That's a huge game. In fact, we had an opportunity to go to that game last year. What a good time that was. All right, well, let's break down. You know, you look at Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa, and Michigan State, all 3-0, but somehow Michigan State is ranked number one. Go figure on that. Well, let's move on over to the football side of things, guys. It is College Football Saturday. We'll be right back.
Sunday afternoon. I mean a long time.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm bringing in the chemicals.
Linebacker with a stiff arm.
All right, college football Saturday underway. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Joining me also is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Well, let's talk a little IU. And IU, Wisconsin going at it today, and then we'll get into some of these other games across the scoreboard today. But IU, Wisconsin does battle at 12 noon. Obviously, IU against number 22, Wisconsin. I think this is going to be a good game. I don't think that it's a game that Indiana is going to win. But I think, you know, based on what I've seen, you know, Indiana, if you look at the record, they're only 2-3 in the Big Ten, Indiana is. And, of course, Wisconsin is 4-1. But Wisconsin, the Badgers have some holes. And IU has did well at penetrating their opponent's holes. And that came out wrong, but you know what I mean. IU, Wisconsin, we don't need those stinking Badgers. Josh, what are your thoughts?
I would like to sit here and tell you I think IU's going to win today. I don't think IU's going to win. I think they're going to keep it competitive. And I'm even going to say I was wrong. I don't think IU should get rid of Coach Wilson. The more I watch IU play this year, he's got it going. It's just a rebuilding project, so give the man some time.
Oh, Josh admits that he's wrong. He must have been edumacated. Must have been edumacated. What are you still maintaining your stance on Purdue though?
Yeah, Mitch Daniels, put Coach Hazel out of his misery. I'm begging you, put him out of his misery. He's overwhelmed. Tom could do better coaching Purdue than Hazel is.
Hey, you know what? I'm a good coach. I mean, look at how well I coach this show. We have a few fumbles every now and then. All right, let's just kind of walk around the game board. Obviously, big game. Alabama tonight, 7:45. Let's talk about that game. Alabama, really, you can say what you want, but they're 9-0 and 6-0 in the SEC. They're going against Mississippi State, which is 1-4 in the SEC. This should be Roll Tide, Bama all the way.
It should absolutely be a huge win for Alabama. The only thing that might come into fact this year is he or isn't Nick Saban planning to go to Texas? He's saying he's not, but he's talking to him. But then he says he's not, but then he says he is.
It depends on what day you catch him and what political answer that he wants to give you, I guess. And, you know, there's certain contractual reasons that keep them from saying committal statements, but you know what, if I was a betting man, which I am, I would certainly say that Saban is on his way to Texas. That would just be my guess. So, yes, to answer your question, the unofficial answer is yes, Mr. Saban is headed to Texas. All right, Syracuse, Florida State. Doing battle today, 3:30. Syracuse 3-2 in the ACC. Florida State 7-0 in the ACC. A lot of people look at the Florida State, say, "Hey, they should be number one. They should be national champions." Wasn't for Alabama, maybe Florida State would be.
I'm going to go out here. I've been making this take with all my friends all week long. I've been making it on Twitter. I'm going to stick with it now. Tom, if I'm wrong, you can make fun of me next Saturday on the show. Florida State, you're getting beat by Syracuse today.
And you know what? That's not necessarily an unlikely reality. I mean, you look at Jameson Winston. Even though that's a distraction, that has to be a huge distraction. Even though he's going to play, I guess is what I'm going to say. As we know, he's under investigation for, and I use air quotes on that, for an alleged sexual assault back in December of 2012. Now, again, I'm certainly not. I'm a firm believer that. If somebody's guilty, you know, let's give them the appropriate punishment. But he's under investigation for the last year and has never been interviewed, according to his attorney, has never been interviewed by the police, and certainly, obviously, as a lawyer would do, denied any wrongdoing by his client. You would think if you're under investigation for a year that at some point the police would at least talk to you. So I have my own theories about this, and we'll see how this all pans out. But it certainly has to be a distraction there. And certainly, you know, Florida State controls their own destiny. And, you know, with the leader of the helm, Winston, he's still scheduled to play. You know, so his focus has got to be on that game. But there, just being human reaction, it's natural for him to not be focused on it.
I would absolutely agree. I'm just going to stick with Syracuse. I just think it's the BCS. Tom, you know you want to see it as much as I do. The BCS ended in total chaos.
Well, it started in total chaos. It's been total chaos. So yeah, why not let it end in total chaos? I am so glad to see the BCS go. It is unbelievable. Well, we go over to Illinois, 0-5 in the Big Ten, and then against Ohio State, I think that's a no-brainer. But here again, we look at a number one team. When they're not number three, they're obviously not a number one team. But here it goes again, the conversation about the BCS. I'm not necessarily a big Ohio State fan. I'm a big Big Ten fan, and I think if Ohio State was in any other league other than the Big Ten, we would talk about a completely different story about them being number one. The thing is about the BCS, for whatever reason, they have this love affair with the SEC. You look at Ohio State, certainly 9-0 and 5-0 in the Big Ten. Okay, you got to look at strength of schedule. They're playing Illinois. Well, if you look at strength today anyway, if you look at strength of schedule, Alabama's playing Mississippi State. Florida State is playing Syracuse. So I don't know that that comes into play as a big contributing factor as to how you decide who's going to a national championship bowl. A lot of people would think that Ohio State is right there in the talks, but that's one great thing about what will happen this time next year. We're going to be talking about the playoffs, and if Ohio State gets beat by Illinois in the playoffs, for example, then – you know, Ohio State doesn't move on to a national championship game. Illinois could beat Ohio State today, and Ohio State could still go to a national championship game. And the possibilities are there anyway. 9-0, 5-0 in the Big Ten. Obviously, they're undefeated in any which way you look at it. Ohio State is a powerhouse, and they're inside the Big Ten.
I would agree with you, but I'm going to go up Elizabeth the Greek and Ohio State's going to go down today. But even if Ohio State goes undefeated, Baylor's going to jump over them. Stanford's going to jump over them. Urban Meyer, there's no road to the national title game for the Buckeyes.
Well, and you might be right. I mean, but there again, we make the discussion and we make the conversation that would they be if they weren't inside the Big Ten? If, hypothetically, it wouldn't make sense for them to be, but if hypothetically Ohio State was in the SEC, would they go to a national championship?
If they could go undefeated, but I think they would lose four games if they were in the SEC.
Well, you know, we'll certainly see how that goes. And certainly we go to the other Stanford, Andrew Luck's old college, 8-1 and 6-1 in the Pac-12. Going against USC, you know, USC has taken a tumble. You talk about a fall from glory. USC 7-3 and 4-2 in the Pac-12. Certainly a game that Stanford should be able to handle relatively easy. And I think it's the college game day of the game week this week, and you got Stanford and USC.
That should be a great game. I think Stanford's going to win, but rumor has it that Kevin Sumlin, who's the Texas A&M coach, is going to be the next USC coach, and if so, he is a Purdue graduate, so that would be an awesome accomplishment, both for him and for Purdue University.
Well, absolutely. we won't rag on the Boilers too bad. Boiler down, boiler down. All right, we've got to get into take a break here, Josh. Any final thoughts on College Saturday, whether it be basketball or football?
No, tune in and watch all the college football you can today, and I will join you guys next Saturday.
All right, Mr. $2 Bill Josh, thanks for joining us. $2 bill, Josh. Boy, he's a riot, isn't he? Love having him on with us. Always got his opinions, and you know, hey, it's sometimes they pan out. I mean, he did say Brad Stevens was going to coach in the NBA. Here he is, coaching the Celtics. Guys, my name is Tom Marcus, El Presidente. We're going to take a break in our for our final hour right around the corner.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
In the 70s, they were an elite unit with names like Brick, Champ, Brian, and Ron. They rose like the phoenix, and then they were gone. Their legend became but a whisper, told by the trees, until now.
We're starting a 24-hour news channel, and we want you.
I'm going to do the thing that God put Ron Burgundy on this earth to do. Have salon-quality hair and read the news.
This just feels right. The news team is back.
Welcome to the 80s, baby.
Is that your foot between my legs?
No.
Oh. It was my hand.
Your hair looks like wet popcorn.
I like the parts of your face that are covered with skin.
That's Jack Slime. Look at him. He's a prince.
He's not that great.
What'd you say? He said you're not that great.
Rick.
Oh!
I don't read Jet Magazine or Jerry Curl Daily.
What are you doing?
I'm breaking down the barriers of race by assimilation.
And on that note, which one of you convicts with the longest record can pass me the mashed potatoes?
My. Am I right? Say what?
My minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Marcos, El Presidente. So glad that you guys could join us today. It is time to talk some football, and, you know, joining us now is on time, actually. Mr. Ed Kratzcock, media beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. So glad that you could join us today, sir. How are you doing? Well, it would help if I unmute you. All right, go ahead. You know what? I apologize. I still had I didn't have your mic up. So go ahead. Let's start over. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. So glad that you could join us again today, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks a lot. How's everybody?
Oh, man, we're good. We're good. We had a little rough start here at the beginning of the show with some technical difficulties. But, hey, that's live radio. The show must go on. We must have fun. You talk about the show going on and having fun. Well, let's look at a tale of two cities, if you will, and not really the same city, Philadelphia Eagles. But wow, what a start from where you started to where you're at now. You're at 500, 5-5. It looks like you found yourself a quarterback. Things are looking good, and it's fun to be a Philadelphia Eagle at this point.
Yeah, five wins is probably greater than my expectation at this point in the season was when you looked at the schedule when it came out and you followed this team through training camp and You know, I thought they would probably be kind of a six-win team when all is said and done. And, you know, they still could finish that way. They haven't reached six wins yet. But I believe that, you know, they have a handful of home games left. And it's been a place where they've struggled to win at home. And they're terrific on the road. And they only have two road games left. But, you know, I can see this team easily getting to eight wins at minimum and maybe beyond. Because, like you said, they may have found themselves a quarterback in Nick Foles.
Well, absolutely. And you know what? He come off an injury, and you thought, okay, here we go again with the Eagles and their quarterback situation. And Michael Vick tried to have a comeback, but that didn't happen. So where's the spark coming from with Nick Foles? I mean, where did this kid come from? I think, you know, people were like, okay, well, Nick Foles, we could – but now we got to look at him, man. We got to seriously prepare for this kid. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah, you know, it's the jury's really still out on Nick Foles. You know, there are a lot of people who think he's the quarterback of the future, and you know, there's a lot of people, you know, especially here in the Philadelphia area, Tom, that think that he doesn't really fit into Chip Kelly's read option offense. Which, you know, to me, the read option is still a passing offense, and you still have to have a quarterback that can do that. And you know, Foles clearly has shown that. He can be accurate. He can make all the throws that you need him to make in this offense. And there is the concern about his mobility. And if you've seen him play, you know, I think, Tom, you and I could probably beat him in a 40-yard dash. He's not real fast. But that said, you know, he has a basketball-playing background, and you have to be a little bit athletic to run the floor in basketball. He was recruited by Georgetown, Baylor, to play basketball when he was in high school. And, of course, he chose to play football, and, you know, that's where he is today, obviously. But, you know, he's athletic in that way, that, you know, that he can. He does have some mobility and quick bursts. And the thing he does is he really is able to buy time, I think, in the pocket when the protection breaks down. He can move, you know, left and right. He's a little bit he has some escapability. He's not going to break loose and, you know, rip off 20, 30 yards, can move within the pocket. Sometimes what he forgets to do once he gets scrambling like that, though, is he forgets to set his feet, and he just kind of throws haphazardly, and he doesn't get enough on the ball, or, you know, he's not as accurate with it, and the ball will fall incomplete, which is a good thing to fall incomplete. He hasn't thrown an interception this year, which is really hard to imagine. You know, he has 16 touchdowns to zero interceptions. You know, the record for starting a season like that is 20 touchdowns to zero interceptions set earlier this year by Peyton Manning. So, you know, Foles is on track to tie that or better that in the next couple weeks here.
And what an amazing statement that was. Who would have ever thought at the beginning of the season, especially when you introduced Nick Foles as your quarterback, that you'd be talking about him tying or breaking records of Peyton Manning? It's been 412 days since the Eagles have been able to have a home victory. Wow, that would be something really good. Sorry,
yeah.
I didn't mean to throw that up there, but, you know.
No, that's true. And, you know, the strange thing, Tom, is that all those touchdown passes Foles has, all 16 of them, have come on the road this year. He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass at home, which is even crazier when you think about that. But, you know, that being said, he's only played one game at home, and that was the Dallas game. And I think that's kind of the game that has tainted Foles' picture a little bit here. If you saw that game, he was just so dreadful in that game. He was inaccurate. He had open receivers that he missed badly, either high or he threw it low or he threw it wide. And he ended up in a concussion late in that game, and that forced him to sit out the following week's home game. So, you know, he has only played the one home game this year and didn't do well at all in it. And, you know, so now he's going to have a couple opportunities here to get that first touchdown pass and to end that long drought at home like you talked about. Their last win at home came September 30th of the 2012 season against the New York Giants. So, you know, that's more than a calendar year. You know, and the Philadelphia fans are very, very anxious, needless to say,
well,
to see them win,
you know,
at home. Or, yeah.
No, go ahead. You know, to quote one of your local papers there, it says there's been two Halloweens, four new coaches or managers have come to Philly, and Miley Cyrus was still considered a role model for young women last time.
Yeah,
that that comes from your buddies over there at the Daily News. So, you know, it's been a long time. So I'm excited to watch them against the Redskins, obviously a rival of yours out at Lincoln Financial Field. Hopefully that can happen. But RG3 is on a tear. And should we call them the Skins or should we call them the Redskins? You know, I listen to a lot of these local radio broadcasts, yours, and, you know, just all over. I've got a really great app that allows me to pick up every local affiliate in the NFL. It costs me 99 cents to download. Now, sometimes there's some blackout situations, but for the most part, I can hear just about every radio broadcast out there, and obviously I'm a radio freak, and I'll hear the other radio broadcast personnel and play-by-play people refer to them as the Skins, the Skins, the Skins. When you listen to the Redskins radio broadcast and they go into their opening, we are the Redskins. Redskins, R-E-D, Skins. I don't think they have any intention of changing their name, and obviously we make a little pun about that. But real quickly, it's one of those things that just gives people to talk about. I mean, when we start telling owners that we get to control their name, that's wrong. But also, it's not just the Redskins. What about the Florida State Seminoles? What about the Kansas City Chiefs? What about other teams? Yeah, the Atlanta Braves.
Atlanta
so
Braves,
teams,
right.
Yeah. So many teams have the Indian heritage. And so I admire the owner of the Washington Redskins standing his ground. You know, here's the thing. It's like a bully, and we talked about this last week. When you allow them to do it once, they're going to do it again. So it's just going to create a snowball effect that for whatever reason they've singled out the Redskins, but it's such a small minority of people that actually believe that this name should be changed, and it's gotten to be such a media hot button.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, initially when some of these names were chosen, like the Redskins, maybe it was done to sort of honor, you know, the heritage in America, you know, the history of America. And, you know, now with everything kind of reversing here in the last, I don't know, 10 years maybe, to be politically correct and, you know, to say that now all of a sudden that name is offensive when initially when these names were picked, I think it was done to honor, you know, the Indians and the people that owned this land before we got here. So I don't think it's offensive at all. But listen, I'm not an American Indian, and you know, I don't know how some of them feel about that. But I think initially you have to look at it and see why this name was chosen, and I believe it was chosen to honor them. And you know, you've seen some schools like St. John's University used to be the Red Men. You know, they became the Red Storm, and you know, the North Dakota Fighting Sioux, I think, are now the North Dakota. I'm not even sure what their nickname is, but it's not the Fighting Sioux.
But they play like Sioux.
Well, they're actually a very good football program, I believe. North
yeah, they are. I had to. It was the only way to put in the word Sioux. You know, it was one of those jokes that just went.
Yeah, but if you name them the Fighting Sioux, then you're going to have women that are upset that hey, you know, you're calling us a bunch of women. You know, we're not. You know,
that's
we're
right.
Tough too. You know, so you're not going to please everybody. And you know, I think if you look at the reason, like I said, that these names were chosen originally, that it's meant to honor, and let's leave it at that. And, you know, let history stay the way it is. I, for one, am not a big fan of changing names. I do not like the St. John's Red Storm at all. You know, I always liked them as the Red Men, and, you know, I just don't understand why they had to change. But listen, they have their reasons, and they probably did a big survey and study about it and decided to do it. But I think we should just leave Redskins well enough alone and let them remain the Redskins.
Well, and absolutely. I just, you know, first of all, I do agree with you. It should be the owner's choice to make that.
Right.
But you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the legendary American journalist Herbert P. B. Swope. His quote says, "I cannot give you the formula for success, but I can give you the formula for failure, which is to try to please everybody."
Yeah, so, you know, that's a great point. And that's the same thing where you look at a head coach. You know, that if they listen to the fans, it's the old saying, if the head coach listens to what the fans want, he's going to end up sitting with them, you know, because he's going to get fired. So that's a great quote by Mr. Swope there.
Great quote by the Slope.
I don't know who Slope was, but you know, I like it. It's a good line there that he came up with.
Hey man, I got a pocket full of quotes. Anytime you want to quote, you just let me know. Well, let's move around the NFL. Obviously, some of the games that are going on this week. We've already played on Thursday. What a great comeback that was for the Indianapolis Colts. Here in Colt Country is where we originate, obviously. We're big Colts fans. And as I mentioned to you in a text, I was in pace mode. These Colts are great, but they are going. My ticker cannot handle a season like this all year long. They have got to start out early and win early. And, you know, Calvin Johnson is no joke. And you know, I think that there again, you talk about the quarterback situation. I honestly think, in my opinion, that Fitzpatrick is a better quarterback for that organization. You know, they spent a lot of money to get a big offensive line, and they wanted all of this, and they spent all that money, and now they're not really reaping the return on their investment per se.
Yeah, you're talking about the Titans, I guess, here?
Yes, I am sorry. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I mean, their quarterback, Jake Locker, has been hurt the last 2 years now. So, you know, I'm not sure Fitzpatrick's the guy going forward. Maybe he is. You know, he was in Buffalo and he had a couple good years, landed a big contract, and, you know, things kind of went south from there. But, you know, you're just curious to see what they might do going forward here in the draft. I mean, do they go for a quarterback? There's going to be five or six of them in the first round grade. And, you know, do they give up on Locker or just feel like, hey, you can't stay healthy? I mean, here in Philadelphia, we've all seen how difficult it is when your quarterback gets hurt. Michael Vick has not been able to stay healthy since he, you know, took the job in the second half of the 2010 season. And, you know, Chip Kelly always says the best ability is reliability. And if you can't count on your quarterback to play 16 games every year, that really hamstrings you. So, we'll see what direction the Titans go in here. If they decide to, bring someone else in to compete with Locker, stick with Fitzpatrick, it remains to be seen. But clearly they need to do something at that quarterback position because they can't count on Jake Locker for 16 games every year.
Well, absolutely. And I don't even know why the 49ers, in my opinion, ever got rid of him. So I think that Fitzpatrick is a great fit there for the Titans. And obviously, Andrew Luck, I heard through the rumor mill, and it was also on different media outlets, I heard that it can't be repeated on radio, but I heard he gave a heck of a motivational speech, one like they said that it was like Moses parting the water when he walked through the locker room. He raised his hands, everybody parted ways, and listened to what he had to say, and he laid down the commandments for that game, and he became a leader. He became a man with that team on Thursday night, halftime locker room. Maybe you've heard some of the same stories, but rumor has it he gave a speech of biblical proportions with some rough language that big NFL boys can handle, and said, hey, you guys are embarrassing yourselves.
Yeah, well, I did hear those same things. And, you know, that's exactly what you want out of a guy like Andrew Luck, you know, to step up as the leader of that football team, which he clearly is, and, you know, take it upon himself to kind of take over that locker room. And that speech could go a long way in the rest of this season, you know. That could serve the Colts very well going forward here. I know the last couple of weeks have kind of been nail biters, and except for the game against the Rams, of course. But you know, this past weekend anyway was a real.
Oh my God, what was that about?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. But you know what? Every team is entitled to having a down week. It's tough to play great for all 16 games. I mean, very few teams have done it. The Patriots did it, a few years ago. Of course, the Miami Dolphins did it in 1972. But it's difficult to do. And but credit to Andrew Luck. I mean, he's a young guy. He's only in his second year in this league, and clearly he's evolving as the leader of that team, and that's exactly what you want to see out of your quarterback, especially a guy like Andrew Luck, who is one of the premier quarterbacks in this league right now.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we move on, and we look at the Jets, and we look at the Bills. It's really the Jets' spot in position to lose, to control their own destiny. But as we sit back and we wait for players to break open and to do what they were hired to do, you look at C.J. Spiller with the Bills. Just not really been who we thought he would be this year.
Yeah, you know, and I know I think he had some injury issues his first, you know, his first year or two in the league, and everybody's predicting these great things for C.J. Spiller, and sometimes it takes a little while for, you know, for guys to figure it out. Like, you know, look at Tavon Austin and with the Rams. You know, he hasn't really had that kind of season. Everyone thought, now he did break out again. I hate to keep bringing it up, but he broke out again against the Colts. And, but, you know, sometimes it's difficult for these, you know, these guys to sort of immerse themselves in the NFL. It takes a while to get used to that speed. And, you know, maybe that's what you're seeing from C.J. Spiller a little bit. And, you know, he's still acclimating himself, you know, but sooner or later he's going to have to figure it out, or they're just going to have to give up on him.
And I don't know at what point they're going to make that decision, but you got to think that if the Jets beat them, there's got to be a situation there where Spiller's not doing what he was paid to do, if you will. You can only blame so much on injury, and then at some point you got to look at talent. You got to look at talent. Well, you know what? Speaking of talent, this is going to be a great talented game, and you talk about a game that would be fun to watch just as a fan, and that's the Baltimore Ravens and the Chicago Bears. Now, when these two get together, it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it is. You know, and the Ravens are sitting here, I believe they have a below 500 record. They're 4-5, the defending Super Bowl champion. You know, this is a huge game for them. They're going into Chicago, and not a very easy place to play, obviously. I know they had some snow earlier in the week because I tried to fly out of there earlier in the week, actually in Milwaukee, and I got ahead of the snowstorm, but some of my colleagues were delayed. So, you know, it's going to be a tough environment for Baltimore to go into, but you know, they are the defending champs. They have Joe Flacco, you know, who seems to be playing a little bit better each week. And but the Chicago Bears at home are tough. They're playing well. It seems like it's a team that you could probably run on, though, because they have, you know, they have some linebacker issues in Chicago. And, you know, the Ravens have a pretty strong running game with Ray Rice. So, you know, that's going to be an entertaining game. You're absolutely right. That should be a fun one to watch if unfortunately, I won't be able to because I'll have my own game. But, you know, for all the NFL fans out there, you can watch that on Red Zone, or, you know, maybe you'll watch that in its entirety, you know. But that's a game I would like to see, right? It's a great, great weekend game.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're a fantasy football guy like myself, that Red Zone is incredible. It just takes you right there, right when one of your guys or team are in the Red Zone, and it's pretty awesome. So just modern technology. The days of watching football on television with rabbit ears have gone, and it's just amazing how you could just only be able to watch one game, whatever that game was, and then they went into two networks. So it's the ability to watch football has grown immensely over the years. Well, you know what? We talk about a rival, an in-state rival, the Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals going at it. I don't know if the dog's going to eat the tiger or the tiger's going to eat the dog, but somebody's going to get it on Sunday.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, it was the last time around, it was the Browns that did the biting. They beat the Bengals, and you know, this game is in Cincinnati. Cincinnati has kind of stumbled a little bit. They look like, you know, for all the world, like they could be in the AFC Championship game early on. But now I believe they're 6-4. They have the injury issue to Geno Atkins up front, which was a huge loss, you know, the pass rusher. But, you know, they're playing at home. The Bengals really need to take care of business here against the Browns. I believe the Browns are coming in off of a bye, too, I think. So, you know, that may help them, you know, at least be competitive in this game. But I expect the Bengals to, you know, really kind of amp it up here, playing at home, and get a victory on Sunday.
Oh, absolutely. Well, joining us also is Todd, the teacher, former semi-pro basketball player. Is that you, Todd?
Yes.
Wanted to make sure it wasn't Sparky. You guys have the same area code, and I get you too confused every now and then. I got to write down the numbers as a little cheat sheet. Well, we're talking a little NFL, and I want to get your thoughts on this game from Thursday. And I know you heard us talking about Cleveland and Cincinnati, and I don't know if you heard us talk about Chicago, but really, I know that you follow all sports, and we'll get into some NBA talk too. But how about those Pacers, undefeated? But anyway, well, Indiana, it's just fun to talk about sports, no matter what you like. If you like the Colts, if you like the Pacers or whatever, Todd the teacher, welcome back to the balance, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So what are your thoughts as you look at this week's game? And we're also joining us is Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles with Calkins Media. And certainly feel free to ask Ed any questions regarding Foles and Michael Vick and how well the Eagles are doing against the Redskins. Do you have any questions for him regarding the Eagles?
Well, should I pick up Bryce Brown? That's one. Bryce Brown hasn't really had a large role in the offense this year, unfortunately. Yeah, it was surprisingly, I should say. I mean, I really thought it would be kind of a two-headed monster situation there with Philadelphia with LeSean McCoy and Bryce Brown. But, you know, LeSean McCoy, it's just so hard to take him out of the lineup. He's just so good. You know, he's leading the league in rushing, and, you know, he's only about 70 yards away from going over 1,000 yards, which is unbelievable. And in the 11th week of the season, so I would not pick up Bryce Brown. I'm just not going to see enough carries to make it worth your while.
Well, and Todd has joined us for Fantasy Football Huddle that's going to be taking place here in about 5 minutes. Ed, you're more than welcome to join us, but I know your rule on fantasy football. So,
yeah.
And then Jared Cock is going to be joining us as well. We've only got just a few more minutes left with you, Ed, and as we walk around the NFL, what are some of the things that we didn't get a chance to get to all the games, but as we look at the NFL and, you know, let's put the incognito thing behind us, let's put all of this drama of off the stuff going off the field. Let's talk about what's going on the field. And I think we need to, as fans, get back to the point that, hey, let's talk about our sports. Let people be idiots on their own time. Let it need to stop taking up my radio show time. Let's talk about some well, you know, it is. Media people, they find a nugget and they just chew on it until it's chewed no more. You can only create so many stories. You can only ask the same question so many times. At some point, we got to start talking about what we're here to talk about in that sport. So, Ed, as we look around the NFL, and I know we've talked about a few games, and we certainly talked about your game, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Redskins, great game, and a good opportunity for you to get your first home win in a while out there at Lincoln Financial Field. But what are some of the things that you look at across the league this week?
Well, I'm really anxious to see the Sunday night game, and hopefully I'll get a chance to see some of it, which is the Chiefs at Denver. You know, Kansas City under Andy Reid is 9-0, and I think they've played one team with a winning record or beaten one team with a winning record. And, you know, they're coming off a bye where Andy Reid in his career is 14-1 coming out of a bye. Obviously, all those byes came here in Philadelphia. So they're going into Denver where Peyton Manning is a little banged up with the ankle, and you know, that's going to be kind of the marquee game of the weekend. It's that Sunday nighter, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. You know, we'll see how serious the Chiefs are about, you know, making a run to the Super Bowl here. And, of course, the Colts already own a win over Denver, and what was a terrific game the Colts played, a very physical game, and I'm not sure they've been the same team really since. But, you know, that to me, the Chiefs and Broncos is huge. And, you know, I think the second thing that jumps out at me is the injury in Green Bay to Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback there, who, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how quickly he can get back from that fractured collarbone that he suffered against the Bears. You know, I know being in Green Bay last week, they were down to their third-string quarterback in Scott Tolzien, who played, you know, surprisingly well, but the Eagles were kind of giving him some things, letting him complete the short throws, and were sort of ganging up on the run to stop that talented rookie Eddie Lacy. So I'm not sure the Packers are going to be able to win a game without Aaron Rodgers. You know, I hate to say that, but I think that may be the case. So the Packers at the beginning of the season were stamped as a contender for the Super Bowl, and now here you go. They lose their marquee quarterback, and they're just going to be like every other team, struggling to win. So that's an interesting situation to keep an eye on. I'm not sure when Rodgers is going to come back. I think I heard him target maybe Thanksgiving. He's going to try to get back out there. We'll see. I think they play the Cowboys. That's an interesting situation because that NFC North is sort of wide open. The Lions are in the lead right now. But those are the two things, Tom, when I look around this weekend, some things to keep an eye on.
Well, absolutely. And you made some good points about some marquee quarterbacks. And certainly that game of the week is Sunday night, the Chiefs and the Broncos, and both doing great. But you know what? And obviously, I love Peyton Manning. I'm a big Bronco fan by association, but I watched him last week, and he just struggled to get up off the field and missed practice one day this week, and I know he was in limited practice. I mean, one would think it's Peyton Manning. He is going to play, but you got to look, and you just still, even though he's not our quarterback anymore, I love to watch him play. I've got a great affection, if I could say that, one man about another, for Peyton Manning. A lot of respect for him as a player and a leader as
bromance.
A team. Bromance, man. But Peyton Manning, you got to look and wonder, how much longer does he really have out there on the field?
Well, it's gonna, you know, the offensive line is really going to have to block for him this week because the Kansas City defense is tremendous. I think they lead the league in sacks with Tamba Ali and Justin Houston. You know, they've combined for maybe close to 20 sacks. I mean, they're really going to have to protect him because he's going to be under a lot of fire this weekend, and he's going to be on a gimpy ankle. And we'll just see how long he gets through this Sunday, if he's able to get through this Sunday before we start looking at the bigger picture. But, you know, it is a concern is how long is he going to play. And if you can name, you know, who the Denver Broncos quarterback is, the backup, you know, credit to you. I'm not even sure who it is, but, you know, we may see him this weekend if, you know, if Peyton can't go or if he takes a shot by that Kansas City defense. And then they'll be in the same boat as every other team. There's just not enough good backup quarterbacks in this league to have a team be successful when your starter goes out.
I think it's from Arizona State, Brock Osweiler or whatever.
Oh, Brock Osweiler. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Go ahead.
Draft pick. He was drafted by them, I think, 2 years ago maybe. I remember him now.
Yeah, but he's not bad. Not a bad backup.
Yeah.
Not a paid player, though.
Yeah, has he played at all? Has he even thrown an NFL pass?
Nope. I don't think so. Maybe when Tebow was there.
Yeah.
Well, we'll certainly get into it in Fantasy Football Huddle, and we'll tell all of our guys to pick up the back of your Peyton Manning. No, I'm just kidding. You know, one final thought, though. For some reason, SportsCenter thought this was breaking news. President Obama and family will attend Sunday's Oregon State-Maryland basketball game. Beavers coach Craig Robinson is his brother-in-law. Now, that's breaking news. That's a breaking tweet from SportsCenter. You heard it first right here on the balance.
Wow.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, wow. I'm not even tuned into college basketball right now. I hate to say it. I know there have been some great games, and Michigan State held on last night against Columbia of all teams. But you know, I'm still kind of zeroed in here on the stretch run in the NFL. But I'll turn my attention to college hoops sometime around Christmas, I think.
Well, in March.
I have one question before he leaves.
No, go ahead. Absolutely.
I'm curious because I would not be surprised to see the Monday night game being the best game of the week. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on the Carolina-New England game.
Oh, yeah, that's another good game. Carolina is just playing lights out, the defense, and the defensive coordinator in Carolina is a former defensive coordinator for Philadelphia, Sean McDermott. He's got that defense. I mean, he went into San Francisco and held them to 9 points. They really had Colin Kaepernick figured out, so. You know, that's you're right. That's a great cross division game, AFC NFC matchup, and you know, to me, I think the Panthers are for real. You know, I think they stamped themselves legitimate, in my opinion, by going into San Francisco and beating the 49ers 10-9. So, you know, Tom Brady, he's gonna have his handful this weekend, I think.
Ed, real quickly, I think we do have a caller. Are you there, caller?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you? Who's this?
Good. It's Glenn from Jersey.
Glenn from Jersey. Jersey Glenn, how you doing, sir?
Good.
You got a question
yeah.
for us regarding the NFL?
Yeah,
the
you know, I'm in a must-win situation, and I need to decide on two running backs, and I'm going to tell you who I have plugged in, but I have some concerns.
Well, I'll tell you what I like for Ed, if you want to go ahead and give us your question real quick, Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, we'll let him
sure.
go ahead and answer your question. We'll get more into the discussion after the break because we do got to get to a break. But go ahead, what's your question, and we'll get to it right here in a second. Go ahead.
I have Matt Forte and Andre Ellington plugged in as my starters for running back. On the bench, I got Giovanni Bernard and Chris Ivory.
Well, I'd bring in Bernard. I don't know. I like Giovanni Bernard playing at home. I think that, like I said earlier, I think the Bengals are going to come out amped up, revenge situation to beat the Browns. They want to go to 7-4, stay in the race. I like Giovanni Bernard And, of course, I love Matt Forte. I mean, I just think he does so much for that Bears offense. And, you know, the Ravens defense has struggled a little bit this year. And, you know, he's not a bad play either. I don't know how many you can start, but I'd probably go with Bernard.
Two.
And, yeah, listen, for what it's worth, my 2 cents, I'd go Bernard and Forte, to be honest with you.
All right, Glenn, from Jersey, if you'll hang on, we'll get into this conversation a little bit more in Fantasy Football Huddle. We got to take a break, but joining us here the last half hour, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles in Calkins Media, Mr. Ed Kratz. Where can people find your work and your masterpieces, sir?
Yeah, they can find me on actually we switched websites, but you can follow me on Twitter, at Kratz, KRACZE, or theintel.com, theintel.com. /Eagles, and you'll find my stuff. So I appreciate
all right.
your time. Thank you.
All right, Ed. We'll talk to you soon, and you have yourself
right.
a good week, sir.
Yes, sir. You too.
And Ed Kratz, Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. We want to thank Glenn from Jersey calling and certainly give us a question, and myself and Jared Calhoun. And Todd the Teacher, right around the corner with Fantasy Football Huddle. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Stay right there, my minions. We'll be right back.
Head in the game. My name is Turbo. I just wanted to go a little faster.
Yes! 17 minutes! That's a new record!
Let's go, people! Pick it up!
Put all that racing nonsense behind you and start living your life!
I have a life? I wish I was fast.
Oh no.
What's happening to me?
Slow down for a second.
Are you kidding?
I'm never going slow again.
This must be my lucky day.
A little far from home, aren't you? Garden snail.
You clearly got the skills to pay the bills. If snails had to pay bills, that is. I'm Whiplash. This is my crew.
I'm fast, like a shadow.
But shadows, they're not inherently fast.
What shadow?
I can still see you.
With my brains and your speed, we should be destined for greatness.
The Indy 500.
This is ridiculous.
A snail cannot race in a competition meant for cars.
Wow. Aren't you just a little ray of sunshine? All of these people, they...
See, I'm not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
Weather's been nice.
All right, welcome back to the Balance, my minions. Welcome back to The Balance, my minions. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Our final half hour, as we do every week, we do our Fantasy Football Huddle. Joining us is Jared Calkins, who joins me, my colleague over at Gannett, and Todd the Teacher, former semi-pro basketball player turned fantasy god turned school teacher, Todd the Teacher. Well, guys, so glad that you could join us. Jared, are you there, sir? Are you there? Check, check. Can you hear me? All right. Can you hear me?
This is Todd.
Hello?
Hello?
Jared, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh.
are you there, Todd?
Yep.
All right, I got everybody's mic up now. I don't know what was going on there. I had everybody's mic up. I was getting levels. Nobody was hearing me. You know, we had a rough start to the show today, too. I mean, we were just going along, and then all of a sudden we got knocked off the air for about 10 minutes, and that was always fun. So right in the middle of our Dario Franchitti conversation. So, you know, I'm glad we're all here together. Wow. It's been one of those Saturday mornings where you just like, ugh. All right, Jared Calhoun, top
yes,
teacher. Let's talk about our caller that we had right before our break from Jersey there, and I think you both heard his question. So we'll start with you, Jared. He's got two running backs, I believe, that he wants to start. And I apologize if I got the question wrong, but he had a question of a couple. So go ahead there, Jared. Did you hear the question?
No, I didn't know which two running backs he was talking about. The wife was.
I didn't either.
Wife was asking me questions.
He said he had Matt Forte and Andre Ellington starting, and on bench he had Chris Ivory and Giovanni Bernard, and can only start two.
Ooh, that's a great place to be. Let's see here. Well, who were the first two again? I'm sorry.
Matt Forte and Andre Ellington.
I think you've got to go with Matt Forte out of those three. That's the non-negotiable. Let's see here. Andre Ellington, you know, he's going up against Jacksonville, so they've been kind of a porous run defense this year. Might be a good place to go. Cleveland's been a good defense. Now, Giovanni Bernard's had a couple good weeks in a row. Who's to say that, you know, with his timeshare there, that he's going to continue to, you know, be there. I would probably, on the safe side, roll out Ellington and Forte. What about you guys?
I kind of like Ivory. There's something about
really?
Chris Ivory. I don't know what it is. I mean, it's just one of those crapshoot kind of things. I can't really explain it. Just for some reason, it just sticks out. But I don't think he's going to be hard off with any of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a big Ivory fan. I don't think Ivory in my opinion, but who am I to give an opinion on fantasy football right now anyway? Especially in the league that Jared and I play, there's 16 teams deep, you know. And Jared's been talking about this since draft day, about the playoffs. And playoffs? But you know, it really is in a lot of leagues, and especially our league that there's 16 teams deep. Jared, you and I with our work league, the fantasy playoff. Things are just popping up all over the place. Our fantasy playoff outlook is becoming more and more clear. So we look at how you should be positioning your team as you go into the playoffs. Now, you and I get talked about something that happened in our league that a lot of players have the tendency to do is wave the white flag. A lot of owners wave the white flag and say, you know what, I have no shot at winning any jelly beans. I'm done. I'm dumping my team. I'm putting it out there on the waiver. Everybody come pick up my team. I'm going to trade everybody. You want to be very careful about doing that. Are you there, Jared?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I just wasn't sure that was a question that was fully submitted yet. Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't want to be jumping, guys. I think you suffered from a little early season freak out, Tom.
I did.
That league is so deep. Like, my quarterback was Eli Manning, and I thought he put up 39 points week one, and I was like, I was cashing the check already. But, you know, then he's been awful. And then I've been on the roller coaster there with Terrell Pryor up and down and lost Doug Martin, lost Randall Cobb. And, man, I've been hurting. So as much as you deal with you don't want to go away from your original squad of initially good players, but at the same time, you don't want to be afraid to drop some.
Right, absolutely. And Todd, what are your thoughts on that? Should we, how should an owner react right now as you look at toward the playoff picture, and you kind of pretty much know that your season's over? What advice would you give them?
I like, see, a lot of people in my leagues, what they'll try to do is if somebody gets hurt, they'll try to pick up that next starter. I'm more right now, especially where you're at, getting close to playoffs, is just getting the handcuffs and not worrying about, like, if somebody gets hurt and all of a sudden jumping out really quick and trying to snag that guy. Just make sure you have the handcuffs for the studs that you have and just be patient. I mean, if you really got to go, if you're really struggling to get in the playoffs, then you can be a little bit more aggressive, a few trades. Yeah, like I said, you pretty much just stick with your guns, try to get a couple handcuffs, maybe a decent backup, and just hope for the best. Like this year, I think they said the stats were there's 358 starters in the NFL put on IR this season already.
Wow.
Or something along those lines. So it's just a crapshoot. I mean, it's one of those things you just got to hopefully stick with your guns and hope it works out for the better.
Right, absolutely. Well, let's look at some of the if you're going to whether or not no matter where your team's at, if you're going to look at players to pick up and you know or start set them, we'll call them whatever you want to call it. But if you were to if a player was saying pick me, what would be some of those players? And we look at a list that I have that perhaps maybe a lot of people don't own, and maybe this is the time to look at some players that are out there on the waiver. But you look at Nate Burleson, really only 16% across the league, really as an average, only 60% of the owners own him, but yet he would be a good pickup. Jared?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, he's coming back from that arm injury. You know, he's going to be back sooner rather than later, maybe in time to contribute for your fantasy playoffs. You know, a guy I've been high on recently is Monte Ball. That's a guy you need to keep an eye on. Not because of any reason besides they're going to start to try to preserve Moreno there. They're going to... You know, you see it like 2 weeks ago, he got 10 touches and a touchdown or something like that. So Monte is going to be their goal line guy if they get goal line opportunities. So maybe not starting, but that's a guy to have on your bench. A guy I would have done really well with last week that I was eyeballing was Mark Ingram. My bench was getting really, really short, and I was like, should I go after Ingram or no? And I just couldn't because of his lack of production, but then he went out and put off so many points last week. So there's a lot of deeper guys. Rashad Jennings, you know, that might be a cat out of the bag, but he had a great week last week with McFadden out. Keep an eye there.
Right, absolutely. So, Todd, the teacher, let me ask you this. Nate Burleson, what are your thoughts?
I like Nate. I liked him before he got hurt. Stafford throws the ball a lot. They're going to be trying to stop Calvin Johnson. Pettigrew, I mean, you got Reggie Bush coming out. He's injury prone too. So, I mean, he's going to have to start using Burleson. And it seemed like he started getting trust in Burleson right before he got hurt more and more too. So, but the two names I'm kind of sticking out at is Bernard Pierce from Baltimore, since Ray Rice has been not so good. And then Dennis Johnson from Houston, since Ben Tate's got 4 cracked ribs and they need a backup. And they say the guy's undrafted. And, I mean, as a handcuff, like I said, as a handcuff, it's a no-brainer. If you want to go as a handcuff or you want to try to find a starter like Rashad Jennings or something like that. But if you have Ben Tate, it would not be a bad idea to be thinking about it, put him on your watch list or whatever. But Dennis Johnson from Houston.
Well, and I like your strategy that you were talking a while ago, Todd, about slapping on the handcuffs, if you will. This is the time of year to do that. And you know, it may not – we were joking in jest about picking up Peyton Manning's backup. But you look at situations to where you see your player struggling, now may not be a bad time, especially if you have positioned yourself to be in the playoffs. Now may not be a bad time to begin to look at those handcuffs. So if you were to point out like three handcuff guys, this is who you need to put the handcuffs on per se, that if you don't have, who would that be, Todd?
With the backup for Manning, I mean, one of my leagues I got Manning in, but my backup is Andrew Luck. So, I mean, that's a no-brainer. I really don't need his backup. But like I said, the one I'm really jumping at is the Bernard Pierce one because of Ray Rice and the way they run the ball, and especially Houston is like number two or three in the league with their blocking scheme for running, and get a backup for Ben Tate as soon as possible since Darian Foster's out for the year. But those two kind of stick out. Jared had a couple good ones, too. I like Monte Ball is a really, really good one also. So I'm looking more at backups for running backs or handcuffs for running backs more than wide receivers.
Jared, as you look at slap on the handcuffs, per se, who would be your guys that you would want to start from? Because, you know, you may not be in a good position in our league together with the Gannett, but you certainly are in a good position with your other teams to leagues to be in the playoffs there.
Whoa. I'm still in this thing. This 16-team league comes down to...
Go ahead.
This 16-team comes down to a total lottery pick here. So, you know, this is my starting lineup in that league, that 16-team league. So I've got Scott Tolzien this weekend, I believe, Eddie Lacy, C.J. Spiller, Emmanuel Sanders, Keenan Allen, Jimmy Graham has been my anchor all year. And then my flex is Timothy Wright. I'm going Timothy Wright over Roddy White and Dennis Johnson this week, just because I don't know what those two guys are going to do. I think Timothy Wright's playing good for 10 points this week. And then the Giants defense has been decent going up against rookie. I figured I'd make that play. Alex Henry, of course, you know, the kicker. So it's a rough one. Yeah, that's the league where I've been starting Terrell Pryor all year, Terrence Williams. But I've got backup running backs in that league. I've got Dennis Johnson, Bryce Brown, Monte Ball. I'm praying one of those guys leads me to fantasy glory here soon. So I'm not as high on Bernard Pierce, though. His yards per carry hasn't been that much better than Ray Rice. So I'm beginning to believe it's not really Ray Rice, and it's more the team, the blocking, those types of things. Because Bernard Pierce was very, very good last year, and so was Ray Rice. So, the common denominator there is the line that they're running behind. So maybe a guy to keep an eye on, but I'm just not sure that, that's a potential for a great, success. So, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, and misery loves company. So what I can tell you is I don't want to hear your sob stories. I got Eli Manning, Tolbert, Turbin, Decker, Cooper, Olsen, Hankerson, the Titans D, which got me nothing on Thursday, and Freely as my kicker. So, the thing about the 16-team league that we're in, Jared, there's nowhere for us to go to pick anybody up. So I'm stuck where I'm at, and I have a whopping two and seven record. I'm in no position. I'm that guy that it has no chance of getting to the playoffs with this particular league. Well, Todd, go ahead.
I got a good movie quote for you and your fantasy team, then.
Bring it on, sir. We love your movie quotes.
So from Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance.
You're saying there's a chance. I tell you what, when I'm watching Dumb and Dumber and I'm doing my fantasy football, all I can think of is the guy who has a really bad ulcer and they're giving him peppers and he kills over. That's what's going on with me. I've got a really bad ulcer and they keep giving me these peppers that just keep killing me.
The fancy league one, what I do is like just when you think you couldn't be any dumber, you come back and totally redeem yourself.
Redeem yourself. And I'm waiting for the sequel, if you will. Now, we talked a little bit about Bryce Brown earlier with Ed Kratz and picking him up. So let's look at some of these other players that maybe a lot of people aren't looking at. Dennis Johnson with Houston, 29% across the board on an average of owners own Dennis Johnson. Jared, what are your thoughts about him?
Well, he's definitely not a guy that I can start comfortably, but I think he's from what we've seen from him so far, he's a good-looking player, and Texas runs the ball well. That's a great system. I was just talking about the bad system with the Ravens. I think they're having a down year from whatever's going on with their running game. I think Texas is probably an opposite situation there. They just have a great line. The way their defense plays, they manage the clock. So even though they're having a less than stellar year, Arian Foster was still putting up good points, and Ben Tate's been putting up decent points for a backup. So, Dennis Johnson, I own him, and I'm praying that Ben Tate's ribs, they say, hey, let's shut him down. His ribs are bad. But I'm not sure Ben Tate's going to be a big fan of that, because I believe he is a free agent this offseason, and he's trying to get all the money he can.
Go ahead. What are your thoughts there, Todd? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. That's another thing in the fantasy league. It doesn't mean it's the right way to do it or whatever, but you also kind of, what just Jared just said, it's whenever somebody's about to give up, they're in their free agency year, like next year they're going to be a free agent, it seems like they always are trying to play for a contract. So that's another thing, if you really want to look in-depth about it, like Donald Brown. I mean, he's running unbelievably, and it's like, wow, why is he doing it, not Trent Richardson? Yeah, Trent Richardson maybe thinking too much, not hitting a hole, thinking about it, whatever, but this is Donald Brown's free agent year, and if he's not back because of Bradshaw or Vic Ballard, then he's playing for his next contract. And so that's another thing. If you really want to look in depth, those kind of things, like Jared said, that's a nice thing to look at too, if you have the time to look into it.
Right, absolutely. Well, we've only got time for just one more final thought or pointer, and I'll let you both just kind of decide on what you want to do. But we'll start with you, Jared. Final thoughts for this week, week 11 in fantasy football. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts certainly are, as always, this is the time to start playing your matchups. Look at what guys have been doing for the last couple of weeks. So if you think the Giants' defense is awful, check out their fantasy points for the last couple of weeks. And now they're going up against a hurt running back, a rookie quarterback, who's been playing well. But, the Giants have put me up like 18 points a couple of weeks in a row. So make sure you're looking at that. The Dolphins' defense is no longer bad. They've got I think they got some player who was hurt back a couple weeks ago. And maybe Jason Taylor came back or something. I don't know. They put up solid points for the past couple weeks. So those are matchups to watch. If you haven't got on the Nick Foles bandwagon, make sure you're doing it. Riley Cooper's a start this week. I've got him starting in every league that I own him. I am starting Riley Cooper over, this might not be an epiphany, but over Torrey Smith, CJ Spiller, guys like that.
All right, and all right, now, Todd the Teacher, final thoughts this week, week 11, fantasy football.
My last final thought is just a quick question for Jared. Do you think the New England-Carolina game is going to be high scoring, or do you think it's going to be a low scoring?
Well, I would say, normally, I would say that would be a low-scoring game, but I don't think that Tom Brady is – I think Tom Brady is an elite quarterback. He's going to keep up with Cam Newton running all over the place. So that's going to be a Cam Newton show. New England's defense isn't that great, so Tom's going to have to come out and throw similar to what we saw in the Steelers-Patriots game.
All right, Jared Calhoun, Todd the Teacher, Fantasy Football Huddle, guys. It's been great having you along, and we always, always look forward to this. And, after football, we've been doing such a good job of fantasy football. Maybe we need to get into NBA fantasy. What do you think, Jared?
Oh, man, I don't watch NBA.
Man, I don't either. I got a couple friends that now Todd, I know you're a former semi-pro basketball player. So what about you? Do you do NBA fantasy?
I don't do NBA fantasy. I watch it. The coach that coached me is the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies now, so I follow them. But I'm more following college basketball than NBA. But when playoffs start, I watch a little bit more.
Any thoughts on the Pacers?
I love watching the Pacers.
Paul George.
I mean, I know the assistant GM, Pete Filo, there, so it's a fun team to watch, and they're going places, I think.
Do they have a national championship in the future?
Oof, I don't know. You got to figure
title
out
how to LeBron hurts himself.
Yeah.
You know, there's a YouTube video going around. LeBron Jr., whatever his name is, it's his kid is really lighting it up in Pee Wee basketball. So, you know, maybe there's a future LeBron.
There's a lot of years to go.
A lot of years to go. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. We'll catch you guys in next week. My name is Saul Marcos, El Presidente. Remember, don't drink and drive. We'll catch you again next Saturday morning right here at 9 a.m. sharp right here on the Balance Radio Network.
What does the fox say? What the fox say?
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.